Welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gygax, and today we are going to finish out the M39, Management's Handbook, their equivalent to our M41. So, as I've mentioned many times, I'm reading this for the first time right along with you guys. And when I got to Section 2, I decided to look ahead a little bit and see what it is that we're going to be reading, and it's all about how to conduct route inspections. So, it's a fairly specialized case that when you're getting route inspections, the old-fashioned route inspection, I should add, that when they follow you for a couple of days, they count your mail for 6 days, they use like a 7-week average, all this stuff, you should be getting a class from your union on how to deal with route inspection. And maybe I'll do an episode devoted just to route inspections, but the problem is that the TRAP process has taken over for the old-fashioned route inspections. And at the Region 1 training I went to where Renfro spoke, one of the things that he talked about that was being negotiated in the next contract was to eliminate this Section 2 from the M39 entirely and just scrap the old method of doing route inspections. So I don't think it's a particularly useful use of our time to spend a lot of time going over it. So instead, what we're going to do is we are going to talk about it. We're going to talk about some of the highlights that are in the rest of the M39. So I went through and just read the whole thing by myself. Lucky for me, there was a lot of skimming because there's a bunch of charts, there's a bunch of sections that tell management like how to fill out the form, what to put on line A, what to put on line Q, stuff like that. So I was able to skip a lot, but I also found some stuff that is useful. So that's what this episode is going to cover, essentially the rest of the M39. And we will start right in the beginning at 211.1. In order to achieve and maintain an appropriate daily workload for delivery units and routes, management will make at least annual route and unit reviews consisting of an analysis of items listed in 214 and work hours, volumes, and possible deliveries. Items listed in 213 may also be utilized in the review. These reviews will be utilized to verify adjustments which have been taken by management or need to be taken by management in order to maintain efficient service. The results of the review will be shared with the local NALC president or designee and the regular letter carrier serving the route that requires adjustment. In some units, it may be necessary to proceed with mail counts and route inspections on one or more routes. These inspections will be conducted between the first week of September and May, excluding December. So, it says here, management has to inspect your route at least once a year. So, this is probably not the kind of thing that I'm going to be pressing them to do, but it is something that they are required to do, and so it's worth you knowing about it. Next, we go on to if you are unlucky enough to have route inspections at your station, then you will not be granted time off, or at least you shouldn't be. Because 211.4 reads, absences for other than emergencies will not be granted during the week of count and inspection. If it can be anticipated that there will be a count and inspection of the carrier routes at an installation, to the extent possible, planning for that inspection should normally be completed before annual leave bidding begins. This will enable management to exclude from leave charts the week selected for count and inspection. And this may be a way that you could push back against inspections if you wanted to, because, hey, in 211.4, we're supposed to figure this out before we put in our leave, and now our leave is going to mess up these counts. I don't know how much success you'd have making that argument, but it's an argument. It's something. That's why we read this stuff. 216.1. Any member of the management team may be used for the inspection of routes. They must be thoroughly familiar with the inspection procedures and shall be held responsible for the accuracy and completeness of all data assembled by them and for its proper evaluation. So, there you go. They're on the hook for the stuff that they create. If it's wrong, it's on them. They're the ones that are held responsible for its accuracy. 216.3. All available city delivery managers must be assigned to participate in this work so that the counts and inspections may be completed at each unit in the shortest possible time. And this is why you'll see an entire heard of supervisors show up at your station when it's route inspection time because, like it says here, they want to get them done quickly. 221.131. The carrier should count and record the mail every day, except on the day of inspection when the mail must be counted and recorded by a manager. On one or more days during the count week, each route will be inspected by a manager. When management performs the mail count, the carrier serving the route upon request may verify the mail count. Guys, this is an important one because it says here you get to verify the mail count upon request. You should do this anytime management counts your mail. It is a right that we have won through the grievance process, and it helps to A, ensure that management is giving you the proper credit for everything you're delivering, B, suck up some time, you get paid by the hour, and C, make the whole process a little bit less comfortable for management. So for all of those reasons, you count all your mail, including your DPS. If you have 1,800 pieces of DPS, you're going to count all 1,800 of them. And here's your citation, 221.131. Next, 221.132. Replacement carriers assigned to regular, full, and part-time routes must count the mail and enter the data on the prescribed forms in the same way as the full-time carrier. This is something that comes up during route inspection. Hey, I'm only the T6. Do I have to do all this? Yeah. Yeah, you do. 221.137. If necessary, overtime may be used to enable the regularly assigned carrier to complete delivery during the days of the count week. So as far as I can tell, and I've read through this in advance, your assignment to the 8-hour only list does not apply if you are having a route inspection. You deliver the whole route and it takes however long it takes you. And that's addressed here in the next point, 221.138. Only in very unusual circumstances or emergencies when excessive late delivery would result, should auxiliary assistance be granted the regularly assigned carrier during the week of the count. So it's your route, you're going to carry the whole thing during the count, even if it means you're going to be out there beyond 8 hours. Almost certainly it'll mean you'll be out there beyond 8 hours. And again, as near as I can tell, there is no grievance for like mandatory overtime during the count period. If that's not true, let me know. I don't see how you could conduct a count without going into overtime. But if you have experience in that, by all means, send me a message, classesofmail@gmail.com. And next we get to 222.214, and there's a number of subparts to this. So first we're going to read Part A1. Record 1 minute for the routing of each 18 pieces of letter-sized mail in the standard six-shelf case, where joint agreement in accordance with the September 1992 Memorandum of Understanding has been made to utilize a 4- or 5-shelf letter case, the definition of a letter will remain the same. See 121.12, and we did talk about that in a previous episode, and the standard of 18 per minute will not change. So here it is in black and white that the 18 letters per minute is a standard, and the standard is referenced right here. The standard of 18 per minute will not change. All right. Number two refers to flats. Record 1 minute for the routing of each 8 pieces of other size mail in the standard 6-shelf case. That would be flats or spurs, 8 per minute, and it is a standard. And then three, record 1 minute for the strapping out of each 70 pieces of mail with a minimum of 3 minutes. And this is for pulling down, strapping out. As far as I know, that expression dates back to when we had leather straps that went around the mail. Now it's rubber bands. And you're supposed to be able to pull down 70 pieces per minute. To my knowledge, these are the only speed standards in the post office. All right, moving on with 221.214B. Part 2 reads, there shall be established for each letter carrier a base minimum time allowance for each of line functions 14, 15, 19, and 21 of PS Form 1838 where applicable. All right, interrupting here. This is what your stewards are talking about when they talk about base office time, that there's a minimum amount of time you have to spend in the office that has nothing to do with casing your mail. It's doing all the other things that you do in the office in the morning. So the 222.214B2 continues. Those base minimum times shall be fixed at 6 minutes for line 14. That's the accountables. Getting your accountables, writing up the slips if you choose to, and that whole thing is 6 minutes. 5 minutes for line 15, which is withdrawing your mail, going to the hot case, going to your centralized flat distribution, whatever, bringing that mail back, unstrapping, and so on. That's 5 minutes. 3 minutes for line 19, which is your vehicle inspection, and 9 minutes for line 21, which is all of your other office work. If during the week of count and inspection, the carrier's average actual time for any of those line items exceeds the base minimum for the function, the carrier shall be credited with the average actual time, unless an adjustment to that time can be supported by appropriate comments on PS Form 1838 or 1840 or any attachments thereto. In no event may the standard time for these functions be below the base minimum. And I added these up, and they total 23 minutes. That is the absolute minimum office time, and you could absolutely be more than that. Like, for example, checking your vehicle in 3 minutes isn't necessarily realistic. If you take 6 minutes to check your vehicle, then now your base office time is 26 minutes, and so on. Number three, comments such as excessive time, too much time, adequate or sufficient for this function, used on day of inspection, too slow of pace, and other similar thereto by themselves are not appropriate comments for the purpose of supporting any such adjustment. To be considered appropriate, these comments must set forth the reasons for the conclusion that less than the average actual time recorded is sufficient for the carrier to perform that function. So remember that these things that I'm highlighting are specific to route inspection, but there's a philosophy here that for management to say things like, oh, you're using too much time, they acknowledge here that those are not appropriate comments for supporting anything, really. So when they try to, you know, to give you a hard time, especially if you're a CCO, you're just taking too long out there, you need more than that. Go faster isn't an instruction. 222.214G, line 20, personal needs, etc. An allowance of 5 minutes is permitted on the first trip for personal needs. Obtaining hat and coat from wall racks before leaving office, visiting swing room to obtain rain gear from locker, etc. An additional 2 minutes, 2 minutes is allowed on the second trip of a two-trip route. Note, this is an office function and must not be taken on street time. All right, so we got a 5 minute allowance here, in addition to the 23 minutes of base office time, and that brings us up to 28 minutes. So it's very easy to see where we get to at least 30 minutes without ever casing any mail. So when management tries to give you a hard time about how long you're taking in the office in the morning, you know, there's a lot more that goes to it than just putting the mail in. It's not just about how much mail you have. There's a lot of other stuff that you do. Now moving on to 231, this is 231.1. The inspection of a route is the observation by a manager of the carrier's office and street work for one or more days and includes counting and recording the mail handled and the time used for each function. So this is the definition of a route inspection. And that may be relevant if management says, oh, I'm going to inspect your route. Well, this is what an inspection should be. Or if they do these things and claim it's not an inspection, you know, this is the actual definition. 231.5. The route examiner must inform the carrier that he or she intends to make a fair and reasonable evaluation of the workload on the route, and that in order to do so, the carrier must perform the duties and travel the route in precisely the same manner as he or she does throughout the year. The examiner should impress upon the carrier with the fact, or should impress the carrier with the fact that management is just as anxious and desirous of obtaining an accurate count of mail and inspection of the route as the carrier is, so that a fair and equitable evaluation of the workload on the route may be made. Yeah, sure they are. Well, that's what the examiner is supposed to let you know and supposed to impress upon you. So hopefully they do that. If you happen to get one of these route inspections. All right, 232, conduct of route examiner. 232.1, the route examiner must. All right, important note here, 232.1 says must. This is not optional. These things have to be done. And if they are not done, it is grievable. So when that person is following you on your route to do a route examination, this is how they're supposed to handle themselves. A, they must not set the pace for the carrier, but should maintain a position to observe all delivery points and conditions. B, they must not suggest or forbid any rest or comfort stops, but should make proper notations of them. C, they must not discuss with the carrier on the day of inspection the mail volume or the evaluation of the route. These matters must be discussed with the carrier at a later date when all data has been reviewed and analyzed. Are they coming in and talking to you about these after they do the inspections? They're supposed to. D, the examiner must make notations on the day of inspection on the appropriate form or separate sheet of paper of all items that need attention, as well as comments on the day of inspection. Also list any comments or suggestions for improving the service on the route, as well as suggestions or comments made by the carrier during the course of the inspection for improvement in delivery and collection service. That seems reasonable. You know, like if you say, hey, this route, it seems like it would be a lot better if I went over to this, you know, did this neighborhood first and then came around the other way. And in theory, that's the kind of thing that's supposed to be adjusted during these route adjustments. Or I've tried to play the system in my favor. I doubt that it ever works, but you know, on my route, hey, my route would be squared off a lot better if I took off these two streets and then picked up those two streets over there. It would really balance things out nicely and make my line of travel flow more smoothly. Does that work? Probably not, but I gotta try. All right, E, the examiner must make comments and suggestions clearly and in sufficient detail for discussion with the carrier and for decision-making purposes. So maybe if they put that kind of stuff in their comments, that it eventually gets on to the decision-makers. The manager who will actually discuss the results with the carrier must have enough facts and figures to reach a final decision on any necessary adjustments to the route. Well, there you go. The person who's reviewing this stuff with you is not necessarily the person who did the review, and so having that kind of information could be helpful. You know, again, there's no harm in throwing that stuff out there. 241.4, providing carrier with summary. A completed copy of the front of PS Form 1840, reflecting totals and averages from PS Forms 1838, day of inspection data, route examiner's comments, and analysis of office work functions and actual time recordings, will be furnished the carrier at least one day in advance of consultation. Completed copies of PS Form 1838 will be given to the carrier at least 5 calendar days prior to consultation. So, if you have this examination done, hopefully they're giving these things to you. 242.11, importance of route adjustments. Route adjustments are a very important part of the city delivery service, and the promptness and efficiency with which they are made depends directly on the use made of mail count records and route inspection reports. Careful analysis of the data developed will assist the delivery service manager in determining poorly laid out routes and areas for service improvement. In addition, the route adjustments play a prominent part in maintaining regularity of deliveries and in conserving work hours. If minor adjustments have been made throughout the year as needed, few adjustments will be required after each count and inspection period. Yeah, so there are methods by which management makes small adjustment to the route. I think we actually talked about some of those in part one. And always the carrier should be consulted in these things. Whether they actually take your input is another matter altogether. Apparently that is part of the problem with this TRAP process, is there's no grievance process if we disagree with what management has decided. It's supposed to be handled through the alternative dispute resolution. And that process, from my perspective, is fundamentally broken because it requires management to be cooperative. And if they're not interested in being cooperative, then, oh well, we're just out of luck. So anyway, you should be consulted. 241.121, work schedules of carriers must be in conformity with the national agreement. The ideal route begins and ends as near as practicable to the delivery unit, with the greatest volume of mail delivered on the first part of the route. So that's why I included this, because I never really thought about that. It says with the greatest volume of mail delivered on the first part of the route. I haven't really had that as a consideration. I will say that, you know, if I have like really big parcels, I like to get them out of my truck. But as far as like which part of my route gets the most mail, I've never really thought about it. But this is what it says here. The greatest volume of mail should be delivered on the first part of the route. Auxiliary assistance or overtime should be necessary only on extra heavy days. The mail should be delivered with least possible amount of handling and travel. 242.122. The proper adjustment of carrier routes means an equitable and feasible division of the work among all of the carrier's routes assigned to the office. All regular routes should consist of as nearly 8 hours daily work as possible. And I'll add here, I don't know what the fine details are of the TRAP adjustment process, but I have to imagine that these same basic principles apply. Like the purpose of route inspections, that's what it says here, right? Is that what this section is? Importance of route adjustments. That they would be important regardless of the method used. So there you go. These provisions should still apply to TRAP. I can't say necessarily whether they do. I'm sure at some point I'll read that. Or if what Renfro told us at my Region 1 training, we're getting rid of TRAP. But then he, according to aid arbitration, the next day he said the opposite. So who knows? I guess none of us will know until the contract actually comes out. Because heaven forbid he tell us. Next, 242.123. Routes should normally be adjusted entirely within the zip code area they serve, even though there may be more than one zip code area in the same delivery unit. This is something that is assiduously adhered to at my station and at every station where I've worked. And I had some coworkers who went up to Utah on a detail assignment up in the Salt Lake City area where they go up because Salt Lake is super shorthanded, and so they work like tons and tons of overtime while they're up there. And one of them called me to say, hey, there's this weird thing up here where you can't take auxiliary assistance in the other zip code. And the management is really strict about it. And they're like, oh, we've been grieved the hell over this, and there's no way we're going to give you an auxiliary assistance in the other zip code. And she was asking me, like, why that would be. And my only thought was, well, it must be because the one side is rural and the other side is city. And those two crafts definitely do not cross. But she said, no, it's all city. It's 100% city in the station. So I have no idea why you wouldn't be able to take auxiliary assistance in the other zip code. If you know why, my only thing that I could come up with is it must be something in their local memorandum of understanding. If you know why that is, if you have a station like that and you know what the rule is, drop me a line, classesofmail@gmail.com. That she definitely piqued my curiosity with that one. All right, 242.214. This is important for your old timers out there. An exception may be made, so this is referring to office standards, an exception to office standards may be made for carriers who have served continuously for 25 years or more or are over 55 years of age. So what this is saying is that if you've been in the post office for 25 years or if you're over 55, you may be exempted from the 18 and 8 speed standard. It goes on. Before making an exception, determine that the carrier cannot meet the standard office time and that his or her conduct and performance are otherwise satisfactory. The office time allowed for an exempted carrier must be reasonable and be determined by management. So when you hear people say, oh, I don't have to case at 18 and 8 because I'm 62 years old, maybe that's true. This is the provision that it's talking about, and that's route inspection. So, you know, this is where that comes from. All right, and then next, 242.332, no carrier shall be disciplined for failure to meet standards except in cases of unsatisfactory effort, which must be based on documented, unacceptable conduct that led to the carrier's failure to meet office standards. This is a really important one, guys, because management, like with this hour office time, they're going to try to say, oh, if you're not out on the street by 9:30, you're going to get written up or whatever stupid nonsense they say. And here it is. They have to say, like, what you're actually doing wrong. You know, just saying, oh, you should have been out of the office by now, that doesn't mean you did anything wrong. They can have whatever ridiculous projection they want. That doesn't make it reality. And this is your citation, 242.332. I'm going to read it again. No carrier shall be disciplined for failure to meet standards, except in cases of unsatisfactory effort, which must, there's that word again, must be based on documented, unacceptable conduct that led to the carrier's failure to meet office standards. All right. Next, 243.21, routes of more than 8 hours. If, after correcting improper practices, a route still shows a total daily time consistently in excess of 8 hours on most days of the week, plan to provide permanent relief by transferring the workload or providing temporary relief on heavy days as follows. A. Temporary relief must be provided in the most efficient and economical manner, either by using auxiliary assistance in the office or on the street, or by authorizing necessary overtime. B. Permanent relief may be provided by reducing carrier office or street time. Consider items such as additional segmentations, use of routers, handoffs. Oh, it calls them handoffs. See, where I work, they're called handoffs. When you give away auxiliary assistance, it's called a handoff. And here in the M39, they refer to it as a handoff. Although, in fairness, I've seen it referred to in other places in the contract as a pivot. And what else do they call it? Anyway, here it's called a handoff. So take that, all you people who don't call it a handoff, which is most of you. Anyway, consider items such as additional segmentations, use of routers, handoffs, relocating vehicle parking, withdrawal of mail by clerks or mail handlers, providing a cart system for accountable items, etc. When routes require a current adjustment and delivery point sequencing will commence within 6 months, that doesn't matter, that's long gone. Where actual transfer of territory is necessary, see 243.23. If a handoff is the method, there it is again, handoff. If a handoff is the method selected for providing relief on the street, the time value associated with the delivery of the handoff must be deducted from the route getting relief and transferred to the gaining route. Oh, dude. See, this is why I shouldn't talk trash. Because what they're talking about as a handoff is when a portion of the route is like handed off permanently to another route. Then instead of Jackson Street being on Route 2102, Jackson Street's not going to be on Route 2117. That's what they mean by handoff. Well, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. In this case, I'm going to stand by it. Handoff's still a good word for giving away auxiliary assistance. But, you know, pivot, bump, beef, split, all those, chunk, all those things are fine too. Leg. What other ones are there? It doesn't matter. All right, moving on. 243.22, route less than 8 hours. On routes where the evaluated time is less than 8 hours, make permanent additions by transferring territory through a reassignment of the territory in the delivery unit. This realignment could reduce or eliminate an existing auxiliary route, reduce a regular route to auxiliary status, or eliminate it entirely. That always seems like it's the goal when they come in to do these route inspections, that they're trying to get rid of routes. And as I've been hearing it, the TRAP process, which actually goes, it's supposed to be based on the actual time that we use week after week after week, based on our scanner data, that in a lot of places we were actually adding routes based on that. And then management stopped cooperating. And that's where we are now. So I don't know. All that stuff is over my head. You know, all this hearsay. We'll see. I don't know when TRAP is coming to my station. Maybe it never will. Maybe there'll be something new. But regardless, there are things in this section of the M39 that we can learn, and that's what we're here to do. 27. Special route inspections. 271. When required, special route inspections may be required. Oh, 271 is when required. This is explaining when it may be required. Special route inspections may be required when one or more of the following conditions or circumstances is present. A. Consistent use of overtime or auxiliary assistance. B. Excessive undertime. C. new construction or demolition, which has resulted in appreciable change in the route. And again, this heading is special route inspection. So this would be a route inspection that follows similar procedures to what we've all talked about, but this is under special circumstances. E, a carrier requests a special inspection and it is warranted. F, carrier consistently leaves and or returns late. G, when you talk about your route being overburdened, you will hear carriers in the know or carriers who think they're in the know say you need to get a 271G so that you can get that route cut. And that's what this is. 271 is the section that we're reading from, and this is item G. So listen close, because this is your path to getting your route adjusted to 8 hours if it's consistently long. Here we go. G. If over any 6 consecutive week period where work performance is otherwise satisfactory, a route shows over 30 minutes of overtime or auxiliary assistance on each of 3 days or more in each week during this period, the regular carrier assigned to such route shall, upon request, receive a special mail count and inspection to be completed within 4 weeks of the request. All right, let me go over those criteria again. 6 consecutive weeks where your route goes 30 minutes or more over on 3 or more days of the week. And then you can request this 271G special route inspection. The month of December must be excluded from consideration when determining a six consecutive week period. However, if a period of overtime and or auxiliary assistance begins in November and continues into January, then January is considered as a consecutive period even though December is omitted. A new 6 week consecutive period is not begun. So there's your 271G. Right, you can request this special route inspection if you're using overtime every day. And this is why it's important to carry your route every day as though you were being inspected, to not cut corners and try to shave things off your route, you know, by curtailing safety or being, you know, inaccurate. Carry the route the right way, and eventually the route has to be adjusted to you. When you hear those old timers say the route is adjusted to the carrier, not the carrier adjust to the route, this is what they're talking about. This is the process by which the route is adjusted to the carrier. You have to stand firm, deliver your route the right way, and if it takes longer than 8 hours, it takes longer than 8 hours. We're all different. Some of us walk faster, some of us walk slower, some of us toss the mail, some of us are very particular about it. Everybody's different, and the route will be adjusted to you. For that reason, don't be afraid to bid on a route that you really like just because it's too long. If you like the neighborhood, if you like the station it's in or something like that, you can bid on it anyway. And if it really is too long, you can use this process, the 271G, to get it cut down to size. And that's what I did on my last route. You know, it was about 45 minutes over every day, and eventually it got cut out and became this really nice 8-hour route. So that's how this is intended to be done. All right, and then finally, here's the very last item. 272, manner in which conducted. When special inspections are made because of conditions mentioned in 271, they must be conducted in the same manner as the formal count and inspection. So all that stuff we just went through, that's what's going to happen if you get this special route count. So if that happens, you're definitely going to want to read through. There's a big chunk of the M41 that talks about route inspections, and most of the M39 also talks about route inspections. So if you get one of these old-fashioned route inspections, you know, you're going to have to devote the time to make sure that it's all done properly, because the changes to your route are going to hang in the balance. All right, so that's it for the M39. We're done. Section 3 was even more useless than Section 2, so I'm not even going to bother reading from that. It was also very short. So not really sure what I'm going to read next. I'm going to have to look through maybe the ELM, the Employee and Labor Relations Manual. I think there's another one called the EL, or I'm not sure. So either way, Season 3 is going to continue to hold management accountable to what they're supposed to do. And, This is all just more ways to help make you discipline proof. Thanks for listening, guys. I will catch you next time.